Yesterday I had a chance to preach a one-word sermon. My wife and I were having coffee at an outdoor cafe in James Bay, and a couple came up to us and they started chatting with us. And in the midst of chatting, they said to us, we noticed that you two look very happy. And why is it? Tell us your secret. Why do you look so happy? And that's where I gave my one-word sermon, faith. And I'm giving the same sermon to you this morning, except it's going to be more than one word. Faith simply means walking with trust and reliance upon God. Trust and reliance upon God. A good story that illustrates the true meaning of faith is a story about a rope walker. And the rope walker had a friend. And the rope walker was going to do this walk across the rope, and he said, "Do you think I can do this?" And the friend says, "Yes, sure you can." He says, "Do you really have faith I can do it?" He says, "Yes, you can do it." He says, "Good." He says, "Then get on my back." And that's the tricky part about faith. It's more than just assent. It's living in a way that relies on someone else. For the Old Testament people, reliance took the form of obedience to the law. But when Paul explains the Christian way, he emphasizes the primacy of faith. Romans 3:22. This righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. What a wonderful promise and assurance. Paul, after a long section in chapter 4 of Romans, explains how Abraham lived by faith. He says, "Therefore, the promise comes by faith, so that it may be by grace and may be guaranteed to all of Abraham's offspring, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham. Against all hope, Abraham in hope believed, and so became the father of many nations." And then we had that beautiful passage read to us this morning from Hebrews. And faith is defined in the book of Hebrews as this. Hebrews 11. "Now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. By faith we understand that the universe was formed at God's command." The writer goes on then to talk about those who long for a better country, a heavenly one. "And therefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them." There's a wonderful theologian named Avery Dulles, who has written extensively about the attributes of faith. Faith is a constant feature in human existence. There's a natural faith that the world lives by. We all have faith that the sun will rise tomorrow. We trust that the store will be open when we go there during stated hours. And so we can think of this as sort of a generic faith that all people have to get through life, because without that kind of faith, daily life would be impossible. I'm always surprised when we hear about a new disease, and immediately people say, "Well, let's find a cure." Well, if we lived in a world that was simply chaotic, why would you expect that there would be a cure? But we have faith that there's an order to the universe, and that there is a loving presence that provides a cure. And if only we get out there and look for it, we'll find it. And usually we do. And so even in people who are unbelievers, there is some level of faith. But faith in the theological sense means that we have surrendered to God. God has come into history, invited us into a relationship with him to be his children. And daily trust involves a loving and knowledgeable self-commitment. And so I say one of the reasons Jesus came was to make people who were unconscious of God conscious. When he calls us to faith, he calls us into a conscious relationship with the Father. Faith is a religious act. We willingly transfer the lordship of our life from our own selfish interests to the authority, holiness, and truth of God. When we come to faith, we're no longer the center of the universe. We surrender, we bow, and we say, Father, you are the center of the universe. You are truth. You are holiness. And I surrender to you. Faith presupposes revelation. I could not submit to God unless he was willing to disclose himself in some way and summon me. Faith is possible because of God's self-disclosure in Christ. And that's why Scripture is so central to our faith, because God has disclosed himself in the words of Scripture, disclosed himself in the coming of the Christ, and Scripture which testifies to the coming of the Christ. And because we've had that disclosure from God, we can go into a level of knowledge we could never acquire on our own. Faith is free. God respects our freedom. And faith would have no religious or moral value unless it was freely given. Faith is born by grace. Faith is not something I can accomplish by myself. It is God who has disclosed himself, and God who has changed my horizon and my vision. The initiator of this relationship is the Lord God himself. And this new horizon and new vision make me a larger person. If I'm going to be a child of the Father, I have to stretch. Faith is experiential. With this new vision, I can now experience life differently. Even though God's grace is invisible, we can see it at work and its full effects in our lives, including our own enlightenment, consolation, and our sense of union with the Father. Faith is cognitive. It's not based on make-believe, but rather an inner cognition of authenticity. It's a way of knowing that's different from sort of scientific knowing. It's a different classification of knowing. But there is a kind of knowing, an authenticity. Yes, this is true. Yes, this is real. Yes, this is huge, even more huge than the universe itself. And so true faith is not just a blind leap. It's our hearts saying yes to God, who has disclosed his heart to us. Faith gives insight. People often say it's by seeing that we believe. But Christians know just the opposite to be true. It's by believing that we see. By believing, all the pieces start to drop and fit together. Things make sense that made no sense. We can get a sense of how we fit into the bigger picture. And that sense of how we fit into the big picture brings to our life balance and direction. Faith gives rise to new levels of knowledge and understanding. And with the help of the Holy Spirit, faith flowers into wisdom. Faith has a doctrinal component. Although words cannot capture or contain faith, we believe that God has declared himself in intelligible ways that can be expressed meaningfully in human statements. I think of the wonderful task our province has done, the Anglican Church in North America, in spelling out the catechism. It's based on the older catechism, but the beautiful thing about the new catechism is that it's all related to the scripture, and it tells you all of the things we want to profess about our faith and where those beliefs come from in Holy Scripture. The other wonderful thing about the catechism of the Anglican Church in North America is it's available online. And if you have any trouble finding it online, just ask me and I'll help you find it. But for that reason, people all over the world are latching onto it and finding it and learning about our cognitive idea of the faith statements that can be discerned as true from Scripture. Our bishop, who's in charge of multicultural ministry, Bishop Stephen Leung, over at Good Shepherd in Vancouver. He is working on a translation into Chinese. We said, are you going to make it available online? Oh, no, no, we want to have it printed. And they want to have it printed in China so that it can be accessible to millions of people. Faith is reasonable. Faith comes into play when we can make some sense out of the totality of our experience. We can never really simply get to those levels of truth simply by our own reason. But reason has a valuable part to play in our heart assenting to God's truth revealed. I love the words of Jesus when he quoted in the Old Testament when he says, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. We embrace God with our minds. Faith is and should be critical. Faith would not be true to its own nature unless it were passionately concerned to keep itself free from error and superstition. Faith must therefore be on guard against self-deceptive projections, frauds, and delusions. And of course, this is what the whole of the Reformation was about. The Reformation going on in our day, and that's what it's about. It's keeping us free from error and superstition and trends and self-deception and looking for the clear and clarion truth of the gospel. In principle, faith is firm. We are given grace that assists us in the discernment of God's authentic words so that we can come to an inner assurance. Remember Jesus taught about having the faith of a grain of mustard seed, just a little bit to get you started? But that little bit will grow into a bush that's big enough to hold the birds. That little bit of faith, if we nurture it and care for it and develop it and follow it, will grow into a beautiful bush, and that beautiful bush is called assurance. God wants a union with our heart that is beyond a faltering and qualified assent. Faith is obscure. Paul reminds us that now we see in a mirror dimly. Faith should not result in behavior that is arrogant or domineering. Faith is vulnerable. You might wonder why God does not just show himself clearly to everyone, make himself known. But God wants hearts that are given by free assent, not one that is commanded into love and obedience. Doubt and disbelief are enduring options, even though we live a life of faith and assurance. When I was at theological school, we had a wonderful principal. A lot of the students would be going, as they learned more and more, be going through periods of doubt and wondering and searching. And he used to say, oh, he said, but there wouldn't be the shadows on the forest floor if it wasn't for the sun above. Think about that one. Faith comes from hearing. We are indebted to a community that has shared God's life with us. We often think about the writing of Holy Scripture, the community that wrote Holy Scripture, but I like to think of the community that also saved it, preserved it, passed it down, wrote it out in words faithfully, transmitted it, chose it and selected and filtered it to where we have the scripture that we have today. Holy Spirit working, yes, in the writing of it, but also in the preserving of it, in the caring for it, in the transmitting it faithfully to coming generations. Dulles goes on to assert the following things about faith. Faith is the foundational first steps in entering the life of God. Faith changes us inwardly and gives rise to prayer, adoration, hope, and love. Faith offers a remedy to cynicism, suspicion, greed, selfishness, and strengthens the human community. Because faith is a free response, it can be lost and needs to be cherished nurtured and cared for by the recipient. When John and I were in the youth group way back when, we had a wonderful minister named Mr. Johnson, and he was in many ways a pretty ordinary fellow, but he was very nervous around teenagers. When he would come to talk to the young people's group, our job was to try and sort of get him on the run, see if we could ask that tough question that he couldn't answer, and get the old guy in a dander. But what struck us was that we couldn't. He couldn't always answer our questions, but he had an assurance, and it was rock solid. No matter what we tried to ask, or no matter how we tried to upset him, we got that calm, loving assurance in the life of God back. And in a way, he kind of reversed the charges on us. It sort of shocked us that this ordinary Christian man could have such a wonderful sense of assurance of the profound reality of the life of God. So Dulles put into clear propositions of the truths that St. Paul shared in so many of his epistles. Faith is the way that we apprehend God's call, the way that we make reasonable sense out of the totality of our lives, and the way that our hearts enter into a beautiful and lasting union with the Father. What a gift we've been given in the gift of faith, and let us cherish it, and let us nourish it. Amen.